So I guess we can call the meeting to order. Can we get a roll call vote?
Yes. Lindblom?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Crawford is absent. Gambrill?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Elder is absent. LaChance?
Here.
Chacon is absent. And Rodriguez is absent.
No. Here comes
Darren. Darren, okay.
So, recognition of visitors. We have Tom Lindblom here. We'll be probably deferring to him later in the program. Amendments to the agenda. Anybody have any changes?
Yes, my husband has requested that we move him up on the agenda so he doesn't have to listen to us.
Okay.
Because he has other pressing duties, I'm sure.
Well, let's see, we can
no comment. Yeah.
We can move him up to right after the minutes. How's that? That work for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we'll move him up to number four. So if we wanted to look at the minutes, hi Darren. How are you?
Good. How's it going?
Good.
I move we accept the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, moving on to our paint bid, which is what I'm assuming that you're here to talk about.
To begin with, Russ and I met with Aaron Willett, who is the interim assistant city administrator. And we talked things over, and then Aaron and I met one more time. Made a number of changes, as Russ knows. She is most cooperative with this program. Very talented lady, got good experiences in city management, and been fun kind of working with her. She's volunteered to do an awful lot for us, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. We come from different backgrounds. So I come from a background of more of the formal, using an architect in their specifications and so on. And she comes from a background of what cities do with their proposals for work to be done. One of the major differences is that I've been used to working with a sealed bid being received by a certain date, formally opened and read aloud. She claims that the city doesn't require that formal a process, that there's just bids can be received by a certain date and a certain time. It doesn't say anything at all about a formal opening. And she and I discussed about the possibility, although I'm not accusing her of this by any means, of she gets a bid from contractor A, for, and I'm just grabbing at a number, it doesn't mean anything, for $10,000, but she happens to be friends with architect B, and she whispers to him, if you can beat $10,000, you got it. Oh, she said, that won't happen. I said, well, I'm used to it being in black and white where it won't happen, but she's contented with that, and she said that is past the appearance of the legal counsel for the city. So basically, that's what we're doing. You know, I'll go into that. That's just one of the differences in the two, and neither my previous experience is right and hers is wrong, or hers is right and mine is wrong. It's just we've kind of worked together on it. So what we put together is kind of a combination of the two in a sense. There's three documents though that are before we get into the actual proposal. And again, they call it a proposal. I'm used to calling it a formal bid, but that's what they're working with. The first page is the legal notice will appear in the paper, and she's has been willing to do that, to send it to the Beacon and get it published and everything. There will be a charge. I think the last one we got from the fire district was $150, $160. The second page then is a list of potential bidders that came from the city, and I added one more that I've been used to, as well as some of those I've worked with, and they have too. The city recently bid the interior painting of City Hall. So they had a number of people. So, and she claimed that during that process, a number of them asked where we were in the process because they were interested in it. So I'm hoping we're going to get a number of bids, and I just, you know, hope they're good numbers.
Will Aaron send the proposal to these people?
Yes.
Okay. We're not just relying on them seeing the thing in the paper.
No, it's just a legal requirement that
has to be in the paper.
She will email everyone.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then she will also handle, and I will be there at the bid opening in, that's on page 3.
Okay.
Page 3 is a schedule starting with our meeting here tonight. And if you approve, we'll forward it in here. And if it's your question answered, then we will get this in the paper March 1st. There's a time period for questions to be answered. And there usually is some clarification needed, at which time we can send out an addendum if that's necessary. Contract to be opened at 2:00 on April 4th. Contract comes to you people on April 10th to be approved, and then work can begin ASAP, meaning as soon as the contractor can get mobilized and get everything in and get the supplies on hand and so on. So that's the three documents in addition to the proposal itself. Any questions on that at all? Okay, the first couple pages then. Actually, on page 3 is the specifications. Beginning with calling for the type of paint and staining and so on and so forth. If you'll notice at the very top...
I just want to point out the very top sentence up there.
Just going to say
that. Okay. Right.
You'll see further on the document, a lot of this was what the city uses, and it had referenced the city administrator, the director of public works, the city council. And so we put this sentence in that says, for purposes of this contract, references to the city shall be the library board or the representative.
Right.
So we didn't have to go through and change everything in this 13, 14 pages. Just one sentence should do it. So I know that was a concern of many of you that the council was going to approve this or somebody else was. No, this comes back to you people. Starting in on page 4 is what they call, for some reason the city calls it special conditions on pages 4 and 5. Then they go into general conditions on 6. Quite honestly, I don't know what the difference is, but that's the way they did it. So rather than change all this and go through all that, we just left it that way. Quite frankly, most of this stuff is what I call boilerplate. It's kind of standard language that goes into almost all city public bid works. Then on page 12, I don't think it's necessary unless you have questions on pages 4 through 11. It's just, like I said, it's boilerplate, dealing with payments and liens and warranties and inspections and all that kind of stuff. On page 12 then begins the actual proposal, where the contractor fills out the pricing for these individual types of work. A lot of cases that under repair, for example, spells out there's some spots on the east side of the building where I believe it would be ice melt has gotten onto the siding and has deteriorated. So in the document in here, it deals with the repair. And then it also, if there's something else that I'm not aware of in repairing that comes up in their walkthrough of the site and everything that they find. We get a total price. Page 13 then is dealing with respects to safety and standards and so on and forth. And page 14 then is where you actually get the signature of the firm and who signs it and their name and their title. And that's pretty much, it's pretty simple. It's a document like this as opposed to something like when you do like the construction of the building, it was two manuals, that thing. Now we're just dealing here with strictly painting and repair, or with the full-blown construction, you're into mechanical, electrical, and all that stuff. So that's pretty much it. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have, or if you have any in the future, let Michelle know, and I'd be happy to get back to you.
I have a couple questions. One is because I'm very naive about this process. So when they spell out their proposal, the pressure washing, caulking, whatever, do we have to go with one company? Like, can we say, oh, well, LaClure, we'd like to have them do the repair and caulking and someone else do, or do we have to go with, but they're just spelling out what their fee is for those parts.
It would be the lowest qualified total bidder.
Okay. And then I just wondered under warranty, I see it says 25 years finish warranty. Is there any way we can, or maybe that's just not standard practice, specify something? Because we kind of got burned by the warranty before. Is there anything that we could do that would safeguard what
happened with the new?
Well, what is warranty? Like the, if it paints, or if it, like to avoid this whole finger pointing that we ended up with before. I don't know if that's something we can do or not.
In this condition, what I see here is the painting contractor would be responsible for all that. Here's the problem we ran into on the new building. The hardy plank was stained by
Effie Wheaton.
Effie Wheaton. Okay, they're no longer here. The painting was installed by the carpentry subcontractor. He came along then and touched up the nail holes and the seams and all that. He was supposed to just use like a Q-tip, okay, on a nail hole. He just took a paintbrush. That's what was deteriorating at a different rate than what the siding was. And that's why you're seeing it so much.
So if it says where it says finish warranty, it would be, include all of that. And if the only problem that could arise would be if they would say, well, the product we painted it on rotted or something like that, right? Like that they might not be able to hold up this warranty.
They should be able to do any prep time and preparation.
So they should, in 6 years or 8 years or whatever it is, if we went back and said, look at this paint, it looks terrible.
It's on
they
them.
Should have
it should be on them.
Okay.
Yes.
I know I sound paranoid.
Yes. No, we have a good reason.
Well, the thing is, because like the 2 year mark is when they'll come out. You have up until 2 years for them to fix up before Centex got bought out by Pulte. And so when they came back, they fixed a ton of stuff. And even if they use the exact same paint, but my house has been wearing for a year and a half. So I have huge spots on my ceiling. Everywhere that they fixed a nail hole or a seam, you can see the different color paint. They were both the same white. I mean, they knew what they used, but they're like a year and a half of smoke and cooking, and it's never going to match. You need to repaint the whole thing. And so, like you said, when they use a big old swipe of paint, we were doing from the minute they just applied it like that, it's going to show up terribly. Because the sun and the exposure from the previous one.
Like, oh, yeah.
The other problem
they don't like each other.
The other problem we had was the color blue. Mm. It showed, it lends itself to fading, I've been told. I'm not an expert in paints. So one thing you're going to have to do is you'll get paint samples, and you'll have to pick the color that you want.
Going off the board.
So, I mean, once we get the painting contractor established, he should bring in samples for you to make your choice.
Believe it or not, this color blue is one of their standard colors now.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the standard colors?
Uh-huh.
For
hardy board.
What is, Russ?
This color blue is one of their standard colors now.
Yeah, it is. Instead of having to have it custom done. Like
Well, this calls though for a cabinet paint.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. A what kind of paint?
Cabot is the manufacturer.
It's like a Sherwin-Williams or something. It's just the manufacturer of the paint.
Okay.
But it's not used on the Hardy plank, right?
I'm sorry?
Oh, is it used on the Hardy plank?
Mm-hmm.
Does cabin go well on the Hardy plank? Is that what Hardy plank recommends we use?
I've been told it will be.
Okay.
Is that subject to change at all?
By the contractor?
Mm-hmm.
Unless he comes back to us and says, I don't think that's the correct manufacturer, then you tell me what your professional opinion is.
But you're saying that's what you think it should be?
That's what documents that I've...
Okay.
Documents that Russ and I saw from the city originally,
yeah.
That's what they had.
Okay. And they went by what was originally applied.
Okay. Which makes sense.
Except that, yeah.
Then
we had problems.
So there is one exact same
manufacturer
that fades, but we probably will not go with blue again.
Well, Michelle's got a color blue on the surround for the dumpsters. That is it's a different color blue,
and it
doesn't show the fading
right.
Nearly
so
as much.
The dumpsters around me, not Hardy plank.
They're not Hardy plank. They're just wood.
What's that?
I thought the dumpster surround, is that Hardy plank?
That's Hardy plank.
Is it? Okay.
It is?
Okay.
Oh, it was just like a loop.
I believe it is. I have to go look and see, but I
don't. Yeah, it was applied the same way. Just, yeah. And it's out there on the east side, so it gets a lot of sun.
And it's not fading.
Well, no. Russ, excuse me, it doesn't get a lot of sun on the one side.
Okay.
On the side closest to the building.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's
that,
true.
That doesn't get a lot. And that,
right.
And you don't see much fading there.
No.
Just like on the north side of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a difference because there's not as many nail holes there. But where there are, there's not much of a difference in where the nail holes are and the siding because it's not getting the sun. But it's very other than the south side.
That's the one thing is the sun, no matter what color you put on there, the sun is going to have an effect on it. And if you used white, dirt's going to have an effect on it. So whatever you use, it's going to have an effect. And whether it can, you know, the idea is, can we wash it off? Can it be cleaned and not just, you know, not change the color at all and make it look nice and not make it fade?
Anything else? Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks,
John. May
I
be excused?
You may be excused.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Oh. Appreciate all your hard work.
That's what I really do.
No. Okay. Moving on. Correspondence.
Do we need to make an action?
We can make an action down under down where it is.
All right, okay.
Yeah, we can just leave that part of it down there.
Okay.
We just wanted to have the discussion with Tom so he could go have a beer.
I've got a little thank you card from Ann Engelhardt. She's the PADS director. Dear Michelle, thank you for your support of the Kendall County PADS in your position as head librarian. We appreciate that you and your staff are tolerant and kind to the homeless who frequently are at the library. Thank you for allowing PADS to host our special meeting on February 2nd in the community room of the library. That was very nice of her to take the time to do that. So.
Anything else?
That's it.
And everybody should have gotten an email in their library email accounts that nobody looks at from Lisa Pickering about the economic interest statement that will be mailed out and needs to be returned to the Kendall County Clerk's Office by May 1st.
Probably got lots of time.
Yeah. Yep. It's basically if you have an interest in any company doing any business with the library, you have to disclose that if it's over $5,000.
You have to send it in even if you don't.
Even if you don't, you just put names, none, whatever. You can send it in to them or you can go down to Fox Road and hand it to them.
Okay.
If you don't, you get fined. I don't know what the fine is, but it's something that has to be done.
Two or three times a year.
I failed it back.
I swear I did. I have no idea. She sent in another one. You didn't return this. I'm like, yes, I did.
That's why I always go down and hand it to her.
Did you? Yeah. I mailed it back, and they mailed me another one saying, how you get the first one?
Yeah.
They didn't say they didn't get the first one. They just mailed me another one. Really?
Okay. Moving on, public comment. We have nobody from the public here, so we'll move on to staff. Does the staff have anything to say? Michelle? No. Okay. Report of the treasurer.
Okay. We can look at the check register. The first three pages are credit card bills totaling $583.80. Moving on to page four, the top line item there is automatic building controls, and this is the one that Michelle told us about last month, but didn't have the bill yet. And this was for a valve repair on one of the pumps for $3,340. On page five, Russ turned in another bill for the E-Rate Fund Services, and that was for $143.25. We had
just to explain what that is, his $250 is for what's called Category 1 services, which is internet reduction and things like that, telecommunications. This $142, he gets 10% of whatever we get reimbursed on Category 2, which is equipment. So we got $1,400 back from the switches we bought, so he gets 10% of that. If we don't spend anything, he doesn't get any more than the $250. So, okay, that's my 2 cents.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next one there is a membership renewal, $150 with IOA. Page six. Down towards the bottom there, NYPA Gas had a nice bill this time, $1,649.97. And okay. Then down on page seven, the $3,000 for Overdrive, that's the annual fee for e-books. And the one below that, $1,210, is for the database for the Ancestry Library, and that is also annual. And then the one down at the bottom from Sound Incorporated for $876.90 is for the security cameras, and that's quarterly. Page eight. The Chicago Tribune subscription renewal, $363.49, is semi-annual. Page 9, for Warehouse Direct, $807.16. And then the total there then is $16,373.83. Does anybody have any questions about any of that? Okay, then we had two payroll periods. And so the summary then is total disbursements of $57,251.92. Budget report. We did get a little bit more in personal property tax, and then there was a significant amount increase in the library fines.
Also, food fines in December.
And Michelle explained that. Well, maybe you need to explain.
There you go.
Okay.
We have on our website where you can go in and you can pay for a library fine or pay for a home checking receipt.
So monthly, what shows up is just the money that's exchanged here.
Right, the actual check comes in.
So every 3 months you settle with that.
Yeah.
So that's what made it look like it was so much more.
I think you've really been putting down the...
Yeah. I said, how come? This is working out really well for us because patrons come in and they got any fine that they have, if it's over $10, they cannot...
Check out
anything. So they come over and they can pay their fine and then check out the books and they're happy and we're happy. So.
Okay. So
there's some copy fees. People doing a lot more copying in January?
Two down below the library funds.
Yeah, well, it was really good this time.
Yeah, there was a lot of copies.
This winter, they're in the library more.
Yeah.
Okay, we're at 75% of the fiscal year. And so for the month of January, our total revenue was $7,812. And so you can see we're at 93.5% of our total revenue for fiscal year. So everything was pretty much on schedule with the expenditures. But because we are taking in less revenue, we do show that we have spent more money than we took in. And that's also true for the years, which...
Wait till we get to the budget.
So, we presented a deficit budget, and so that is no surprise to me.
And the deficit budget we presented was farther off than we are right now. Would you say?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, we've lived pretty carefully within our means, even though we didn't.
Uh-huh. Right.
For a long time. For the whole time I've been on the board, pretty much. Yeah, but I mean, even presenting deficit budget last year, we
came out okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Close.
And Rob doesn't account for any carryover money from one year to the next.
I know.
So that...
That's why I questioned him last time about how we could spend that money. We did get in $1,950 in development fees, so that's great. We're considerably, we're about two times what we had budgeted, so that's great.
And every month it looks like it's going to be that. We're going to get it now. Doesn't look like we're going to
get that's not nearly as much as what we
right,
have.
Right, but this is also the middle of
winter.
Yeah.
Right. So hopefully.
I just think it's good that we're getting some because there were years we got nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a whole bunch going on down at Windette Ridge down south of town.
Well, I think when the weather
gets... Creek's got a lot.
The district has their eyes on Autumn Creek.
Yeah.
Right,
reserve.
Yeah. In terms of...
Because my friend bought the second to last one. She's living next to the veteran that they are building a house for.
Okay.
There are no more lots there. They're done.
All right.
They've sold a lot of homes. Mm-hmm. Very full schools.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then on the memorial and special gifts, that shows a balance of $7,703.58. And Michelle said about $6,000 of that is the friends' money. And they had a meeting today, and so they will be letting the librarians know what's been allotted for different programs and books and so forth. And then the cash statement. Looks like we just have lots of money, so... That's all I have, unless somebody has any questions.
No questions. I will entertain a motion to pay our bills.
Okay.
Okay, and will we pay our bills in the amount of $24,305.26, our payroll in the amount of $32,946.66, for total disbursements of $57,251.92.
Can I get a second?
Okay.
And can we have a roll call?
Yes. Johnson?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Gambro?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
LaChance?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Lindblom?
Yes.
Thank you. Moving on to the report of the treasurer. Michelle, you're on.
Director.
Director. What did I say?
Treasurer.
Oh, yeah.
We've been through that.
We've been through that.
Items in the library, and our patrons filed 1,160 items from other libraries, and we lent out 662 items to patrons at other libraries. We continue to add new patrons every month, and we have 124 new patrons added to this month, and 375 items were added to our new book collection. Our Omni books continue to grow users, and in the board packet you had for the bill, there was a $3,000 bill, and that's what it was for the Omni books for 1 year, so that you approved to pay for. On page two,
do we pay for the Illinois e-read?
Pardon?
Do we pay for the Illinois e-read as well?
We do that. That's a separate bill, but not quite as high.
Okay.
It's not near.
Because it's a lot in Omni and not so much in the e-read.
Omni is really the preferred one for everyone to use. So. Our programs, the friends had a meeting today, and they talked about the May Golf. We cleared $6,000 for the May Golf this year. We brought in $6,300, and $300 is what it costs to put the program on, so it's a $6,000 clear profit for us. I thank everybody that came in to play and to come and help at us. We appreciate it. We had 345 paid golfers.
Yeah.
Wow, that was kind of bad.
That is.
And there was just
the rest of the money came from whole sponsors and our raffle tickets here. So
how much did the raffle bring in? Did you break that down?
You know, the raffle, $1,201.
Very good.
The raffle came in, so we had some nice raffle prizes. I think it was a good time for everyone. I tried to keep a count on how many people came in the door, but I lost control of that. I took a guess of 600. I don't know, but just to have a number for it, so.
It's felt the publicity was really good.
They did very good publicity this year, so.
I just thought it was a really nice day all the way around.
Yeah, it was nice.
I think people know about it now.
Yeah, now it's spreading. Just enormous amount of kids.
Yeah.
Unlike last year when we had, 8 inches of snow?
Yeah, that was the first year.
That's one of the best mini golf courses I've ever seen.
It is. It's hard.
It's hard. That's great.
I was supposed to get you all in that hole.
That was not expecting it to be that hard.
Sounds like some sour grapes.
Yeah. No. They were really creative. I like the Cubs one was nice. The one that was decorated like a golf course, you know, when they used
the black hair.
Yeah. I was like, okay, they went all out with this one here. There were some really good ones, some really well thought out ones.
Everybody likes enjoying going down the steps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah,
too. So.
Well, and the youth here did fun.
They did. That's the one that won. I was
bummed.
The kids with the sport, they had the
that's
sports.
That's because thing. They stuffed the ballot box.
Oh, now we get the real deal. It's okay.
Yeah,
I was
their own
bringing enough kids to vote, we can't complain.
Well, that's what
you
I
know?
Don't comment further. Well, we had a lot of volunteers come. We had the baseball team came and helped us, and the wrestlers came the Saturday before and helped set up. So we had a lot of help from the community. So we have... on our gifts and memorial, we have Eleanor Feltz gave us $50. Mm-hmm. And the Girl Scouts of Northern Illinois Troop 1441, they put a bulletin board up for us, and they gave us money to buy some books. And the books that we bought were this little set of biographies for like 10-year-old girls that were like, and they're all about women here. So that was a nice thing for them to do for us. So, and there are two programs coming up. You have a little flyer here. Anybody's interested in Queen Elizabeth program and our Minds game coming up in April. So hopefully. It'll be well attended. The Friends are sponsoring this one also. A couple more things. We have a roof that's leaking.
Oh, great.
And I ended up calling Trico to come and look at it because I thought it was a leaky pipe, and it turned out to be a leak in the roof. And so I called
Olson's.
I was scared. They came, so. And they came in today, and they said there was a hole somewhere, and they patched it and fixed it for us. Hopefully, it's taken care of. I don't know what the bill is. We'll get that bill next month. So. And I wanted just to let you know that Marla's made that nice cake here.
Thank you, Marla.
Wow. I was sitting here going, who could make that? That's really nice.
Isn't that cool?
Thank you. Very cool.
She Thank has you. Many talents, and that's yep. one of them. She decorates the cakes. So. And Beth, if you want to let me know of a book that you'd like to put in the library, and in honor of your services here, and also we're going to put a brick in for you, too.
Oh.
In the courtyard. It says Beth Gamble, Library Trustee, 2005 to 2017. Is that might be right? I kind of checked with Lisa.
I figured you know better than me.
So well, we appreciate everything you've
Thank
done
you.
For us. So
oh, that's very nice.
It's been an exceptional board member, and I didn't miss you. So we all.
I'll come back you. Next month as a citizen. Pick up paint.
There you go.
Paint what? Color.
Paint consultant.
Paint consultant. Yes, you can be our paint consultant.
Since you've been through it once already.
Yeah. The more the merrier.
The first time around, but they told me that it was a river.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So thank you.
That's well, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michelle.
Part of the group.
City liaison is not here, so standing committees. I know finance met. You want to talk about that now or? Down under new business.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can just go to the library budget.
That's right.
Well, we're
going to
go down
the. Oh, next. Okay, yeah. So then the unfinished business. Kate's not here, so we'll skip the cost cutting and the painting bid. I guess I could entertain a motion that we approve the request for proposal to paint our building.
I'll make the motion.
Okay. Second. Any discussion? Second.
Second.
Okay. We're not spending money, so I think a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Ooh, okay. One step closer.
That's done.
We'll get it done. Okay, so on to the 2017-2018 budget proposal.
Does everybody have a copy of this?
It's in the packet.
It's in the packet, yeah.
In the packet, okay.
Yeah.
the finance committee did meet, and this is what we did propose. And I, when I came over to meet with Michelle, there was not a revised budget in here, and so I called Rob and asked him, and he did not receive this.
Oh.
And so...
it was... Oh, really?
Yeah. So...
I didn't send it to him. I just sent it to Rob.
Yeah. I guess I forgot to send it to him. Oh, I sent it to everybody else, but not him.
Okay. And I said, well, that's funny, because right at the top it says to Rob Frederick. But anyway, so he told me he wasn't going to be here tonight, but that if we approved the budget at the March meeting, that that would be soon enough, because the city won't be doing theirs until April. And I told him that we needed his input, because, well, we might as well just go through the line items here. We recommend that salaries be increased for full-time employees by 3%. And then the part-time salaries, there's the $250,000 there is for being open on Sundays. And that's what we figured it was going to cost for the...
that's total.
That's the total, but then it will... be 3% on top of $250,000 to give
the part-time people
right.
raise also. Yeah.
But it's not just Sunday or proposal.
It's increased hours wherever.
How many hours is this number? Seems high.
No, it's not high compared to what.
Was it like four a week or was it?
No, more than that.
Where do I have that? Where do we have that breakdown?
I think it was like, wasn't it like two a day, Monday through Friday?
Two more hours a day?
No. Or was it one more hour a day?
One hour. Open at 9 instead of 10.
Okay.
Monday through Saturday. Although Saturday, we could still open at 10.
Yeah, but what was the number of hours we should have?
When did I write that on?
I wrote it down too, but I'm afraid I threw it away when I typed it.
I obviously did not write it down. I could have gotten on you guys.
Although I probably... It's probably on my computer. If I find it, I'll email it out to Russie. Just
we can divide that too here, if we know what number we are multiplying it by.
Okay. Oh, here she's got it. Oh, you didn't write it. I think I'm the only one that wrote it down.
I think it was somewhere 4 to 6 hours a week. It was only one hour
a
day.
It was to be open on Sundays for sure, which was 4 hours. And then,
okay.
And then to add
for half hour, maybe?
I don't think so. I think we just said we need to do this and we're not going to mess around with it.
Right.
And it was to add an hour a day, and then Michelle was to determine how she wanted to do that.
Yes.
But an hour a day plus four is way more than six.
Yeah, I think it was more than
eight.
Six.
And was it 4 hours on Sunday or 3 hours?
It's three.
So it's three, and then Monday Friday would be 7 hours. Yeah. Maybe it was. Because I don't remember.
Monday Friday is five. Plus three is still eight.
No, I don't. We weren't messing with Saturday, I don't think.
No, Monday through Friday was
five. Monday
through Friday,
Sunday.
Five on Sundays here.
That's an old
five plus three is 8 hours.
No, but this was.
So what I had is one extra day was $5,760 for an extra day open when we did that.
Yeah, that's why I was like, how do we get to 250 if we only have...
Well, this is increased to
250.
It's what we already had budgeted.
Whatever was on his line, so you have to have that budget page. Okay. Does anybody have that to read? What was the budget? So she can see
for
that.
For the part-time salary.
Yeah, so for part-time salary.
Okay, for...
201.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, 217.
217.
Yeah.
Is the part-time salaries. So what?
Yeah. 201.
Oh, wait. No, you're right. It's
201.
To 250.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, here. This is adding 42,000.
Yeah.
So 42,000.
Adding an additional 42,000.
Yeah.
Okay. if that makes sense. I'm like, we're adding 200. We're
no,
doing
no.
Yeah. Okay. That's yes. That was
so
very
increase two.
Yeah. But
so that line.
I think you need to say 42,000 plus. Well, I mean.
So to see that line item now will say 250,000 dollars plus. He needs to adjust it. That was his, so that he would add an additional 3% to the 250. So you're going to be open. Plus, you're going to give him a salary.
Increase.
Yes.
They're all getting a raise.
All right, and then we had figured out.
And that was Sundays, mm-hmm. and then additional
yes.
hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Sundays was school year.
Right. Yes, right. Just for the school year.
And then that FICA contribution was.
That's the 12.
What?
That's what will be in the line
yeah.
from what it was to this.
No, that'll only be for the full-time people.
No,
right.
Anybody.
Full-time.
FICA is everybody that draws a paycheck.
What?
FICA's for anybody who gets a paycheck.
Yep.
But this, we didn't know how that 3% was going to affect the part-time, and so that's why we need Rob's input so that he can figure that out.
Yeah.
For how much they're going to have to put in there.
Yeah.
We actually may have to hire more part-time people because they're limited to 1,000 hours.
Right.
Before everybody starts getting wacky with IMRF and all that other stuff.
And hire people who are willing to work weekends.
Yeah.
Like that should be a priority so that we don't have to worry about the same old people having to work weekends.
Yeah.
This is going to affect, you know, some of our part-timers when no one wants to work weekends. I mean, that should be
well,
up front.
Michelle's already done a little
investigating.
Anybody that we hire from now on will be required to work
yes.
Sunday a month.
Yeah.
But that's not going to help us when we start.
Yeah.
So we used to get a day off during the week. At first I'm like, oh, and then I was like, love my Wednesdays off. Stores are all empty.
Yeah.
Come on. But then again, playing complete time paid double. So.
Okay, the professional services, that's for the IT person.
I was adding one more day a month.
And this is up to as well?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what the line will say in the budget.
Yeah, add one day a month.
Or as needed.
No.
Not to exceed one day a month. Is that what you mean? Or do you think we'll need more than that?
Not unless we have an emergency, then
yeah.
we have to come in, you know. It's like the roof leak and
got to
fix it. Yeah, you got it. Roof leaks, got to fix it.
Okay, automation. Okay, I need to look at this because I wrote down what the increases were going to be. Okay, we actually decreased that from 35,000 to 20,000. And the outside repair and maintenance. That we did increase because that had been 25,000, so we increased that to 50,000 because that's the line item that we keep going over all the time. So, and we thought with the painting, and we have no idea how much that's going to cost, but we felt that that's why we needed to increase
okay.
that.
So we're thinking that that goes in that,
right?
That the bid should be somewhere in that 25,000
yeah.
we just.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet
okay.
it's going to be more than that, though.
Yep.
Oh,
and then operating, we increased that to 10,000 from 8,000. Books, we increased from 5,000 to 10,000. And this is a new line now. It's at least a new amount. There was the line item was there, but we haven't had an amount in there. And so that's the 15,000.
You mean the computer equipment?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, we do. Do we buy ours or lease it?
Buy them.
Buy it.
So, Rob is going to send all of you a copy of the new proposed budget, and I was hoping that you would look that over before the next meeting so that
we'll
can vote on it in March.
And it will be a deficit budget.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, we're taking from our savings.
Yep. Okay. Any other questions? Any other business?
Russ, do you remember when you were on, because that would have been the height of how much we, our property tax, it would have been, our largest budget would have been right at the time that you, that I came on.
Yeah.
And you went off. Do you remember what it was?
It's close to $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It was like $800,000 or $900,000 in property tax.
2006?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the last ones
for
the crash.
Yeah. And everything went in the toilet.
Yeah. $100,000
in the hole. Oh, gosh. I was like,
we should move. I'm like, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah,
we had
a number
on
$1 million.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. Yeah.
So it's just gone
down. Yeah. Technically, with our debt service, we have $1 million budget. But we can't spend all that. Okay, any other business? Then I guess we need to a motion to, how do we do this? It's been so long.
Going to accept.
We need a motion to
go into executive session.
Yeah. Who's got the cheat sheet?
I think I took it out. Here's the cheat sheet. Instead of the agenda, I'm not sure we'll be
listed. You have to
So basically, this is the motion.
We have to make a motion to go into executive session, and the motion has to list the reasons.
Right. So it's reason number one under executive session is what we're doing. So if somebody would like to make that motion.
Okay, I move that we enter an executive session for discussion of minutes lawfully closed under this act, whether for the purpose of approval by the body of the minutes or semi-annual review of the minutes as mandated by Section 2.06.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Can I have a roll call?
Yes. Crawford?
Yes.
Gambro?
Here.
Walter?
Yes.
LaChance?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Lindblom?
Yes.
And Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Switch tapes. Okay, now we're back in. Can I have a motion to, for what we wanted to, how do we make that motion? We just make a motion that says we can release.
Do you have any recommendations?
Do you have any recommendations? Okay.
I recommend that we release the minutes from executive session of July 11, 2016.
From packet two.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And we're leaving packet one intact, sealed. Till next time.
We have that motion to that effect, right?
I'll make a motion that we leave packet one sealed. As is, till next time.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Cake time.